Talking Dot Golf is presented by the 2023 American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. The 2023 AmFam Championship is down to its final day at University Ridge. Tournament host Steve Stricker and England's Paul Broadhurst are your co-leaders after day two, but there are still 18 holes to go in the championship and a lot of excitement ahead, with Steve Stricker going for his fourth win of the season and his first at the AmFam Championship. Tickets for the final round can be purchased at amfamchampionship.com. Since its debut in 2016, the AmFam Championship has raised $14.8 million for charity, with proceeds distributed by the Steve Stricker American Family Insurance Foundation. Hello, everybody. Rob Hernandez here. Gary D'Amato off to L.A. in the U.S. Open. He has to conduct some business meetings with the Golf Writers Association of America, of which he is the president for the next 2 years. So, Gary, going into the land, going to La La Land, where I'm sure he's going to hear more than his share about LIV Golf in the next 6 days. So let's all think of Gary as he makes his travels to L.A. Meanwhile, closer to home here at University Ridge, it was a spectacular day on moving day Saturday, as Madison Steve Stricker, with an 8-under par 64, he gets to 15-under par. He was caught at the end of the day by Paul Broadhurst out of England. He birdied the last hole to match Stricker with a 64. So both co-leaders open 65-64. Justin Leonard, who set the course record on Friday with a 62, he shot 69 today, and he is alone in third. Stephen Elker, last year's Charles Schwab Cup winner of the overall season standings, shot 68, and he will enter the final round four shots off the pace in a tie with Joe Durant, who shot 65, and Marco Dawson, who shot 68. Let's start first with Steve Stricker. It was really another clean card today, as he made 8 birdies without a bogey. Birdied 1 and 2 out of the chutes, 5, 6, and 7, and then added another birdie at the par 5 ninth hole to go out in 30. He came in 34 for his 64. He told us afterwards that he was looking at the leaderboard and saw Miguel Angel Jimenez going absolutely nuts. Miguel was 10 under par through 12 holes today, folks, and he had 3 eagles in that run, playing with Jerry Kelly off the back nine. And Miguel Angel Jimenez double bogeyed the par 3 eighth hole, his next to last hole of the day, and he had to settle for an 8-under 64. At one point, he was 2 shots off the lead, and currently he is tied for ninth. But that kind of got Stricker's attention, and Stricker went out and just played solid golf again and didn't do anything too fancy, just stuck to his game plan, fairways and greens. And really, the guy who, as you'll read in Gary's story, which is already posted to Wisconsin.golf, it just can't do anything wrong. He leads the PGA Tour champions in almost every statistical category. He is the overwhelming leader of the Charles Schwab Cup standings. And a lot of people think, again, much like Gary and I have written here in the last 6 months, he might be playing the best golf of his career. And that was repeated again by his brother-in-law, Mario Tiziani, who did shoot a 71 today. He's T67 going into the final round. Mario telling us that he's just on a different planet. When I asked him if it is golf stuff or whether it's strictly the fundamentals of the game, the mechanics of the game, or whether it's the results, he just said that he likes how resourceful his brother-in-law has been. Mario, of course, has been on the bag often throughout Steve's career until gaining conditional status on the PGA Tour champions. And what's really impressed Mario is how good he is under pressure. And that's something that I think we'll have to look for in the final round. Paul Broadhurst has been in this position before at this tournament and has not finished well. And I believe he was second or maybe third to Jerry Kelly one of the 2 years that he won the championship. But Tom Lehman talked to Gary and asked the same question everybody's asking. Has Steve Stricker played better at any point during his career? And maybe perhaps the year that he finished second to Vijay Singh at the PGA Championship out in Sahali in Seattle, Washington, back in, what was that, like the early 90s, late 80s? I mean, it's been a long time since he's played at this level and going about his business in the way he is. He just credits what he's doing right now to consistency. He told us that he's driving it well. His irons have been good. You know, he's had the opportunity to attack par fives or lay up and rely on that wedge game. He's talked about certain holes out there, number two being an example of one, and I think nine would be the other that they've really been able to go after this week. And he's done that, but, you know, when he has a short iron in his hand, there aren't many better in the business. And right now, it's going to be a tall order for Paul Broadhurst and Justin Leonard, who will play with him tomorrow, to chase down Steve Stricker. I mean, Broadhurst will start in a dead heat with him, but they will both be at a distinct disadvantage when it comes to the crowd support. Haven't checked the weather forecast lately, but it was looking better at the start of the day for Sunday. So hopefully a good crowd is out there to see if Steve Stricker can finally pull off a victory in the tournament that he has hosted since 2016. Broadhurst told us that you know, he recognizes that he will not be the fan favorite. He said, yeah, I'm going to have two fans out there tomorrow, my wife and my caddy. And that might be the only two people at University Ridge cheering for Paul Broadhurst or Justin Leonard. I'll say this, though. They've been cheering for everybody, and it was kind of cool to see Colin Montgomery on the first tee, and Monty is not too far off the pace. He's in the top 10, and they gave Monty a nice ovation, and they've really been, again, cordial. I think Madison golf fans, Wisconsin golf fans are very intelligent golf fans, and they continue to show that in the way they've welcomed the legends of the PGA Tour champions here to Madison for the 7th AmFam Championship. A few other things to get to as far as the tournament leaderboard goes. The rest of the Badger board looks like this. Behind Steve Stricker, who's tied for first, Jerry Kelly with a much better round today, a 500 par 67, and he moved up 27 spots into a tie for 22nd place. But he was playing with Miguel Angel Jimenez and saw what Miguel did over those first 12 holes. And said, at least I know that that it's out there. He knows how what it looks when someone is doing that. And 10 shots off the pace with not such an early tee time. I think he's going off the front nine at about 9:40 tomorrow. And so he won't have the first pairing of the day, but he will not be at the back of the pack either. And so as far as going after a low one, he will, you know, he'll have to do that, you know, a lot closer tomorrow than he was today to the leaders. Let me just double check the, it's 9:44 off the first tee playing with Y.E. Yang and Billy Andrade. And that's five pairings in. So he'll have a chance to kind of do what Miguel Angel Jimenez did today and maybe throw one up there on the leaderboard and see if others, you know, look at that and say, you know, I've got to attack. That's really what happened today. Jimenez kind of was the rabbit, and others really went after the golf course today. A lot of good scores, maybe not quite to the level of Justin Leonard's 62 yesterday, but a lot of 65s, 66s, and a bunch of 67s. So there's still movement there. The question is, with the two leaders at 129 through two rounds, who can catch that? There's only... Let me see here. One, two, three, four, five golfers within five shots of the lead. And then Woody Austin, six shots back. So it's really the last couple of groups will be the ones to look at. And playing with Stricker, of course, Broadhurst and Leonard, they have, you know, the best chance to catch him. There's the three guys tied at 133, Joe Durant, Stephen Elker, and Marco Dawson. Clearly the guy out of that group that you look for is Stephen Elker. It's his first time here in Madison. Shot 65 in the opening round, 68 today. But the guy in the last, 18 months has made a living out of chasing guys down and winning golf tournaments with a great confidence in his game that wasn't there when he played the regular tour or the Korn Ferry Tour prior to joining the senior tour just a couple years ago. The other guys, maybe to look for Ernie Els, who's been in contention frequently here in 2023, 69-67, so he's trending in the right direction. If he continues to shave two shots off, a 65 would, you know, maybe get him in the conversation. But with the number of birdies that Stricker and Broadhurst have made over the first 2 days, it's going to be tough. If they, you know, even come close to, I guess with 8 birdies today for Stricker, you know, that means you're going to have to go out there and make a ton. I wouldn't expect Stricker to maybe to go quite that low tomorrow, but if he even shoots 68, you know, somebody's going to have to go 62, 63 to have a chance to catch him. So, and again, you can't count out Broadhurst because he's got experience in this role on this course. And I don't have we don't have a booklet that kind of runs down what they've done year to year. But, you know, we do know that Paul Broadhurst has been in the hunt frequently on the PGA Tour champions at University Ridge. And we would expect him to be there again tomorrow. When you look at form, obviously Stricker has the edge there. Only 2 top 10s for Paul Broadhurst, 8 top 25s in the 12 events he's played. His best finish, no wins, but his best finish was a T5 behind Steve Stricker at the Regions Tradition. Again, you go back to previous appearances here at U-Ridge. He finished 7th a year ago, but had a tough final round. He opened 69, 66, and then shot 70 in the final round. And then in the 2020-2021 wraparound season, so that would have been in 2021, he finished T21, had a great final round, but struggled in the early round. So a bit of inconsistency for Broadhurst at University Ridge. You know, clearly a guy who's been lurking at University Ridge and could ultimately prove to be the biggest thorn in the side of Steve Stricker as he tries to go after it. You look at 2017 with Paul Broadhurst, opened with a 63, finished 69, 73. So again, not really sure that Paul Broadhurst is the guy that would strike fear into Steve Stricker as he tries to go after his 4th win of the year and his 1st AmFam championship, but clearly a guy that has really nothing to lose tomorrow. And if Justin Leonard can get it going, he's another guy who doesn't have the wins. So, you know, this is somewhat new territory for him, but this is kind of what he's prepared himself for, getting ready for the senior tour before turning 50 about a year ago. And he could be a factor as well. Also running down the rest of the Badger board here on behind Kelly. So we talked about Stricker T1, Kelly T22. Skip Kendall had it going early, was 2 under through 4 holes and was to 4 under for the tournament and in almost in the top 10. But he backed up, shot 73 in his T46. Mario Tiziani with a better day today than yesterday. And he shot 71 and he is T67. Gary wrote the story about the leaderboard. We kind of combined on the notes. You'll want to check out his note on Lee Jansen's hole-in-one at 17. I'm not sure how many holes-in-one we've had at 17 in the seventh, this being the 7th year of the AmFam Championship, but, you know, that is the beer hole. And I won't tell you how much money he plunked down at the concession stand for people to buy dollar beers, but let's just say more than 100 patrons at the 17th hole were taken care of, but you'll want to read why that didn't set him back so much, because there's a little side game going on the PGA Tour champions when it comes to holes in one. You also want to read about Jeff Sluman. Jeff Sluman today, folks, the 2-time Greater Milwaukee Open champ, shot a 67 today. It's his best round at University Ridge since the 2nd round of the inaugural AmFam Championship. And this is also the 25th anniversary of the year that Sluman beat Steve Stricker by a shot at Brown Deer Park to win the first of his 2 GMOs. So at 137, 8 shots back, I don't think Jeff Sluman's the guy that's going to make the charge, especially because he's coming off back-to-back 76th-place showings here at University Ridge. But it's kind of cool to see a former GMO champ finding form here after 2 tough years at University Ridge. The other thing I wanted to talk about before we sign off is the celebrity foursome. That was my spot today. Walked the first 5 holes on the back 9 with Andy North, with Zach Johnson, Derek Jeter, and Michael Phelps, the Olympic swimming great. And it wound up being Johnson and Jeter knocking off North and Phelps, team JJ as I like to call them, six under par for the back nine in the scramble format in Team North. And Phelps was four under. Very entertaining. Zach Johnson can hit the ball a long way, and in comparison to the others that were out there in the foursome, and he kind of carried that the team with Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter, I believe, four kids at home under the age of six. So any of you out there that are in that situation, if you're playing a lot of golf, you're not being the parent that Derek Jeter is, and I think it showed in his golf game. Really impressed with the game that Michael Phelps had. A short, compact swing, and then it was just able to keep it in play and give the North Phelps team a couple of opportunities to first of all choose a good drive and then go after the green. Andy North made a couple of big putts to get them some birdies, but just not enough to beat Zach Johnson and Derek Jeter. One of the cool things today on the first tee, the fans asked Michael Phelps to do his butterfly warm-up that he would do in the Olympics. And my goodness, I don't think I've ever seen in person a body so limber and flexible as that one, with those arms going in various angles in the warm-up like he used to do on the blocks at the Olympics. And to see that on a tee box is just, Miguel Angel Jimenez has an interesting warm-up routine, but Michael Phelps takes it to a whole nother level. So once again, the celebrity foursome Saturday brought out large numbers of fans. It even had John McGinnis from the Golf Channel following them for the entire back nine, which was kind of cool. And Andy North, after having hip replacement surgery, I believe it was middle of last year, said it's really fun to play golf again without that much pain. And he was more than happy. It's been a big weekend for Andy. He hosted an Andy North and Friends event up at the home of Todd Nelson, the owner of Kalahari Resorts in Wisconsin Dells. That was on Friday. And then today was down at University Ridge to do his hosting duties in the celebrity foursome. And then he's off tomorrow, flying out to L.A. to help out ESPN with its coverage of the U.S. Open. I don't think Gary and Andy are in the same flights. Gary's out of Milwaukee. I'm guessing Andy's out of Madison. So unless they have the same layover in Vegas, I don't think Andy's flying Spirit either. But I don't know if Gary wanted me to say that or not. But I'll be out there tomorrow with Jim Kelsch. You want to check out Jim's photos. He was all over the golf course today following Steve Stricker, the foursome for a while, and all the Wisconsin guys. And you can check out his photos, our video interviews with Steve Stricker. We'll post others later on this evening. And I will be back again tomorrow on Sunday to wrap up the final round of the AmFam Championship here on Talking.Golf live from University Ridge. From University Ridge, this has been Talking.Golf, presented by the 2023 American Family Insurance Championship in Madison. The 2023 AmFam Championship is down to its final day at University Ridge, and tournament host Steve Stricker is tied for the lead with England's Paul Broadhurst, but there are still 18 holes to go in the championship. A lot of excitement ahead, with Stricker going for his fourth win of the season and his first at the AmFam Championship. Tickets for the final round can be purchased at amfamchampionship.com. Since its debut in 2016, the AmFam Championship has raised $14.8 million for charity, with proceeds distributed through the Steve Stricker American Family Insurance Foundation. We'll talk golf again tomorrow.